Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. Today's going to be a great day, great show. We've got Julie Broad with us. And Julie is an Amazon overall number one best-selling author, an International Book Award winner, and recipient of the Beverly Hills Book Award for Best Sales Book. As an entrepreneur and successful real estate investor, she was also awarded the Top 20 Under 40 Award. Her latest venture, Book Launchers, helps entrepreneurs and professionals build their brand and boost their business by writing, publishing, and selling a top-quality book. In 2017, she also became a new mom and moved from Vancouver Island, Canada, to Los Angeles, California. It is my pleasure to welcome Julie to our show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited about today's call. I love Vancouver Island. I've actually been there numerous times and just got back from Los Angeles last weekend. So,
oh. Wow. And so you've actually been to the island, because a lot of people think I'm talking Vancouver, but you've been to the island.
I have. I've been to Nanaimo and in some other places throughout the island, if you can believe that or not, and then taking the ferry over to Vancouver. One time I realized I got over there and I didn't have a flight. And then I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get my flight out of Vancouver? Because whoever was booking my itinerary didn't understand the difference between the island and Vancouver. And so suddenly I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even have a way back. And somebody said, there is no more flights and there is nothing other to you to do other than take that ferry.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, well, Nanaimo is actually, you know, where I call home. Like, you know, when people say, where are you from? I'm home is Nanaimo, even though I live in Los Angeles.
Oh, perfect. So, yep, I know exactly where that is. All right. Well, let's just jump right in and let's talk about what a great bio that you had there. Some really awesome awards, especially the Top 20 Under 40 Award. That's awesome. And of course, a best-selling book is always great. So just fill us in a little bit then, like, you know, on your journey. Give us a little bit about filling in that bio in and then telling us a little bit more about what you do specifically today to, it sounds like, helping authors.
Yeah, you bet. So my background's originally in real estate. I started investing in real estate in 2001. I was working at Kimberly-Clark Canada, selling Huggies and Kotex and Kleenex and all that stuff. And I just kept thinking, this is going to be a long life of working for somebody else. And I just wanted to create a bit of a backup plan. And so that's what real estate was for me, was a backup plan. In 2008, though, which was terrible timing when you think about it from a real estate perspective. But in 2008, I decided I wanted to quit my job and not work for somebody else anymore. And I wasn't particularly ready. And like I said, real estate was my backup plan. And 2008 was not a good year to have real estate as a backup.
Right.
A little bit of a market meltdown at the time, even in Canada. But it was just one of those things where I just knew I had to do this for myself. And so I quit my job and started a real estate investing training and education company and started to build that in Canada. And through that and through our continued investments, my husband and I also got married in 2008 and went full steam on building our real estate investment company. Through the real estate, we learned a lot of mistakes or learned a lot of lessons, made a lot of mistakes. Like one of my big stories is that one of our properties turned into a crack house. And our property manager that was overseeing it was in a rough neighborhood. And our property manager ended up getting in a fight with a tenant, punched the tenant, and the tenant later died in the hospital. So really rough stories, some really tough lessons that we learned just chasing the dollars, not really thinking about the life we wanted to live. So I wrote a book telling everybody, because everybody was talking about how to get rich in real estate. And I'm going, yeah, there's money to be made, but you know, somebody right. needs to warn you about some of the stuff that you could go through. So that's what my book was kind of a, you know, you may not want to invest in real estate. Here's the stories nobody else is telling you kind of thing. And the book did incredibly well. That was kind of the beginning of me getting into publishing, because initially the publisher, I was going back and forth with a couple traditional publishers, But they didn't want to publish this book. They wanted me to write a book about real estate investing for couples, which is really boring. But they just were like, your book's been done before. And I kept saying it hasn't been done, but they didn't buy into it. And then in the end, they turned me down for the book deal. And I ended up self-publishing. It went to number one overall on Canada, overall on Amazon in Canada, hanging out with Dan Brown and the Game of Thrones series. And it sat up there for a day and a half and was in the top 100 for 45 days. So it was, for a self-published niche book, it did phenomenal. And so everybody, even traditionally published authors, started coming to me for help. And little bit by bit over the years, I started helping people for free to help them write and publish and then sell their nonfiction books. And so that's kind of where I'm at today, is I kept thinking, if only I had a team, I could just get them to do all this for you instead of trying to teach you how to put all these pieces together when you don't have time to do it. So then I created Book Launchers, and now I have the team. So we do most of the work for you. You know, we help you write the book, you write it, but we help you. We have a coach. And then we do all of the other steps in between, and you're a self-published author with full control and full independence at the end of it.
Oh, that's wonderful. And that's great. So tell me, what was the name of the first book that you wrote, your first real estate book?
More Than Cash Flow.
Oh, I love that. I think that's good for everybody to know that is, you know, kind of thinking about dabbling in that. I mean, we had a guest on the show a few weeks ago, and she was just all about, here's the plan, and here's exactly what you need to do. But you're right. It was all about all the money that can be made and how wonderful it is, and you just need to get in, and you just need to do this. And I mean, it was really super inspiring and exciting, and I'm guessing that people left that show thinking, I'm going to check this out, and maybe this is something I could do. But I think that nobody thinks about the downside of that, or like what could go wrong. You always just hear about what's great about it, and nobody really ever shares these are the things to be on the lookout for. And I think that those are important because it isn't cut and dried on investing in real estate. So I love that.
Yeah. And I mean, some of our mistakes, the majority were preventable. But the problem was all the training out there, and still is, really largely focused on the numbers. You know, this is the returns you can get. These are the cash flow numbers you need. And I just really want people to think about the life they want to create, because a lot of times the properties that have the best numbers are going to be the biggest challenge and probably the highest potential for problems. So that was kind of my message, and still something I'm very happy to tell people about today. I love real estate. It's the reason we can move from Canada to California, and I could start a business. You know, we have the funding to do that, but, and that's real estate that did that for us, but we suffered.
Wow, that's great. So then tell us a little bit now then about how your business has shaped your lifestyle today. So one is obviously a huge change from moving, but just give us just a little bit more of an idea on how has this new business shaped your lifestyle?
Well, I create businesses. Lesson I learned, I grew up in a motel. My parents ran a 20-room motel where they worked 24/7. So my dad, I would hear the doorbell ring at 2 a.m. and my dad would go downstairs and answer the door because people wanted to rent a room and he wanted to make money. So he would work. And so 24 hours a day, literally, they were on call 7 days a week. We took, I think, 3 or 4 vacations my entire childhood. So my parents worked all the time. So the one thing I got from that, besides, you know, hard work, and they, you know, they've created a good life for themselves now. But the other thing I got from that, though, was I didn't want to be tied to working anywhere. So I always wanted the flexibility to go where I wanted to go and do what I wanted to do. And so every business I've created has given me the ability to basically create the life I want to live. So my business doesn't dictate me, I dictate to my business how it works. So Los Angeles is because of my husband. He's pursuing a career as an actor.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. It was one of those things where he turned 40 and then went, I'm bored with real estate. And so we kind of thought, what do you want to do? And acting was what he wanted to do.
Wow. So that's an interesting conversation all in itself. I should have him on the show about <Yeah. laughs> starting a whole career over at, like most people think that the ship has sailed to become an actor at 40. So, oh yeah, tell him that would be an awesome show as well.
Yeah, he would love it. I mean, and it's brave. It's really brave. To at 40 go, yeah, you know, I'm going to do something different, and to start from scratch, to know nothing and to have to network and start building. And yeah, I think that would be a great one. I'll let him know.
Please do. I'm dead serious right now. I'm like, I just wrote it with a exclamation point, because I would love, I know people would love to hear that story. I think people sit in fear of, they think all the time, oh, I'm too old for that, or that would take too much at this time. I mean, you've always heard those statistics about mm-hmm. the people that say, well, I couldn't go back to school at this point. And because where are you going to be 4 years from now? 4 years from now, you're just going to be 4 years older than you are. And
exactly.
And there's always all kinds of stories surrounding that. And I think we all get trapped into that. Well, I'm just too old to get started at this. And in reality, you create what you want it to be. And he would be just, that's a career. I know that most people think that if you don't get established at a very young age, then you might as well not even think about it. So that would bring home the bravery point, I think, bigger than any story we could have on here. I would love that.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. So then, with that being said, so that's why you moved to Los Angeles. And mm-hmm. so in working this 24/7 business with your mom and dad, I am sure that as children, you guys helped out and participated as well.
Yeah, there's one story my parents always tell people, which makes them laugh, is I loved it. My brother actually did nothing. He wanted nothing to do with it, never wanted to make money. But me, as soon as I was old enough to carry a laundry basket, I was out helping and, you know, earning quarters. But my parents actually got me running the office at a young age. So basically that would mean I would check people in, I would take their money, and I would write out the lists for the cleaning crew and things like that. And so people would come in and my head would barely be over top of the desk in the motel. And, you know, they're mostly work crews because we were in a kind of an oil and gas and farming area. And they'd come in and they'd go, oh, hi, is your mom and dad here? And I would just go, I can help you. What would you, you know, what can I do for you today?
That's awesome.
And I would take care of everything they needed. And there was always somebody in the back, usually my grandparents or a babysitter, you know, in the back, but I was the one running the office.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, and kids that kind of grow up seeing that, you saw two things. You saw that I don't want to have something own me 24/7. But at the same time, you learned a great work ethic from that. And you learned skill sets at a very young age that have helped carry you forward.
Absolutely. You know, I thank my parents for it all the time, because I think it absolutely shaped who I am today. And I'm having fun. So I'm happy with that.
That's great. So what do you think a couple of your greatest skill sets are, talking about developing these skill sets? What do you think that they are that helps you to be the entrepreneur you are today?
I think there's two. I think one is my ability to communicate. I think if there's any one skill that you develop, I think it's communication, whether it's writing or speaking or both. If you can't communicate, you can't sell, you can't lead, you know, what can you really do? You really have to communicate. So I think that's one. I've really, from a young age, I started developing my skills as a writer. And then as an adult, I've really focused on my speaking, my ability to communicate a message as I talk. And I, you know, there's still so much to learn and so much work to do, but I think it's critical. The other thing is persistence. I you know, I might lay down and have a nap, but I don't lay down and quit.
Okay. And I think that that is so important. One of the ladies said yesterday, she had a great quote. Now I can't even remember it, but it was so awesome. But it's like, it is really just about that not giving up, because everybody talks about how great everything is going, but it's like, you're always going to have things that don't go right. And so it's learning to not give up in those moments, right? I think she called it emotional something. I was like, oh, I got to look it up because it was so awesome. But anyway, those are two important. I love what you said about communication. So if you can't communicate, you can't sell, you can't lead. What were some other things that you said there?
Oh, goodness.
It was so awesome.
Trust me.
You were talking really fast. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so good. And some people will just miss that. It'll just gloss right over them. So
rewind.
So you said communication is huge. You can't sell, you can't lead. You can't sell a product. I would think you can't sell yourself. I mean, yeah. Communication is huge. And I don't think people put as much emphasis on it in good communication skills, which also involves great listening skills, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all pieces of it. And that's why I say, like, there's so many things to learn. You know, it's body language. It's your ability to write. You know, it's your ability to communicate in sound bites and then to communicate in story form. So there's so many elements to it. I'll be studying it for my life.
There you go. All right. So then share something with us that's super meaningful that you've accomplished in your career.
It's tough, and it sounds a little egotistical to say, but I can't pick. It's hard to pick one because there's so many things that I've done. I think it's one of those things that if something is, I just want to do it, even if it's scary, I just go do it. And that creates a lot of problems and drama, but it also creates success because you have to have the problems usually to create the success and the challenges. But I do think my first book going to number one overall on Amazon, and this was a print book, you know, selling for $24. That was an enormous accomplishment, especially because the traditional publisher that I was working with, they had said, you know, ultimately, we don't think you have a good enough platform to sell books. You know, that was the final rejection. And for me to then turn around and self-publish a book and do better than any of their real estate books that they've ever published, it was just great. Like, there's something I think I'll be proud of forever.
Oh, absolutely. And in writing a book and then getting it on there and then selling and staying on the top list for, you know, a period of time people don't understand, it's really difficult. And I totally get it, especially about the whole publisher and everything. But I think it's interesting. So when they said you didn't have a big enough platform, they meant they didn't feel like you had enough followers in order to really get some sort of connection. Is that what you're meaning? I'm guessing that's what you're meaning, but I want our listeners to understand that.
The way it felt was they were rejecting me. Like, you can't sell books. Like, you're not good enough to sell books. The way it's probably intended is how you're interpreting it, in that I didn't have enough email newsletter followers, social media. But the thing was, I was close friends. I was, you know, real estate in Canada is a pretty tight-knit community. And so several of my friends had book deals with this publisher, and they had a third of the people in their, you know, following, if you'd like to call it that. So their platform was even smaller than mine, because I actually had a pretty good sized platform. So that's why I took it as a personal rejection, because I knew from a number perspective, I was actually much better than some of the people they actually did give book deals to.
That's great. Now, so you're in real estate, and I'm just really curious, because I know my platform, that was why the publisher was very interested in us, because it's huge, but I've been a speaker and I've got people that follow us. So where did your platform come as a real estate investor? Were you doing a newsletter? What were you doing to build that platform?
Yeah. So in 2006, actually, I started to write a newsletter, just an email newsletter that went to friends and family, telling them about some of these mistakes that we'd made. And before I ever had a website, I think I had 700 people on my list just from people sharing it, going, "You got to read this. You got to, you know, get this." And then I started a website in 2008. So the good thing about being so early to the party is it was really easy to get people to sign up. It's way different today. But, you know, as one of the few email newsletters out there in 2008, you know, we built, I think we had 10,000 subscribers to our newsletter and like a 40-50% open rate. So these were very active readers.
Oh, that is fantastic. I think this is good for people to hear, because I think they get discouraged. They don't even know where to begin. And I mean, you literally started from ground zero. So I love that. And it gives people like just a really good indicator of kind of like what maybe some of their early goals might be.
Great.
Yeah. So in total opposite of that, then can you share with us maybe a challenge that you've had and how you faced that head on?
Oh, this year has been a challenge. I had a baby in February, and our visa to move from Canada to the U.S. didn't come through as smoothly as we'd hoped. And the whole getting here was an incredible challenge. So with a newborn, we had to fly to Toronto from Vancouver Island. So for people who don't know, that's a 5-hour flight with a 4-week-old baby. We'd packed up our house, put it into a move truck. We had an apartment down in L.A. We thought we were going to Toronto to get our visa. They didn't give us our visa. They slid this fluorescent green sheet under their bulletproof glass to me and said, sorry, you know, you're not there yet. Here's some of the things you need to do to get your visa. And so we're standing there going, okay, great. We're homeless. We have a 4-week-old baby. We can't go into the States. We don't have a home in Canada. What do we do? So we flew back to Nanaimo and, you know, checked up with my parents while we tried to figure out how we can fix this and what we can do. But in the meantime, I had an office and we had an apartment in LA that were empty, just waiting for us.
Oh my gosh.
Just a small challenge, you know, again, doing that all with a newborn. So anybody who's a parent, totally, even if you haven't had a baby in a long time, you must remember the sleep deprivation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that was a challenge, and it was tough. And then even getting to the States, getting social security numbers, things that you take for granted. I think bank accounts, cell phones, all these things we had trouble getting because we didn't have credit. We didn't have that social security number yet. We had to get a driver's license, but you can't get the driver's license without your social security number. Like, it was about 3 months of just, you know, just dealing with stuff that we didn't want to deal with again with a baby.
Going around in circles, it sounds like. Like, we need this, but we can't get this if we don't have this, and we can't get that if we don't have that. It sounds like it was just one big fat circle.
It was. It was really like you had to pick away at it. So that was a big, big challenge, you know, and then I wanted to open my business and be able to take credit cards and make money from it. And all that was dependent on these pieces. So, but we got through it just basically by going, okay, what's most important for us to do next and just picking away at it.
Well, that is good. And that is it. Like right in that advice, like when things were just like, oh my gosh, we're hitting a dead end everywhere we're going, did you say, okay, let's take a step back, let's make some lists, let's take a step back and prioritize? Like, what do you think you and your husband did to make that what could be for a lot of people, like, this isn't going to happen, we need to just go back home?
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is we invested so much in getting here that we were both fully committed to making it work. But yeah, it was really one of those things where we made a list of all the things that we had to get done and looked at it, and part of it was actually almost doing a flow chart of what has to happen so we can get the next thing. And it really was just, okay, today if we get this done, that's great. You know, tomorrow we'll do the next thing, and not worrying about the 55 things that have to get done, because that will sink you. If you're always thinking, I got this, and this to do, your brain's going to explode. So instead, I would just go, okay, today we're doing X, and that's it, right? And then it feels so much simpler. And then tomorrow we're going to do Y and Z, and you're done.
Okay. Well, that is good. Good advice. So what's working from your happy place mean to you, Julie?
Flexibility and freedom to choose the work I want to do, who I want to do it with, and to a degree when I want to do it. I think anybody who's launched a business can appreciate that there's an element of you will do things on somebody else's schedule just to make that connection or to do certain, you know, to get certain pieces in place for your business. But that said, you know, I do have he's eight and a half months old now, and I he's a priority. I want to make sure I'm spending time with him and my husband. So for me, that's my happy place, is to be able to do work that matters and to help people and to be able to be there for my family.
That is great. So what advice would you give to people right now saying, I want to be an entrepreneur, or I would like to start my own business, or I want to just jump in, but I have no idea? Like, what advice would you give to those individuals?
Two, I don't necessarily think the life of an entrepreneur is the best for everyone. I mean, you have to love digging yourself out from problems, because really your job is problem solving all day long. And so if that doesn't sound fun and you really would rather somebody else solve your problems for you, then you probably shouldn't be an entrepreneur. And I think there's a lot of glamorization. I don't know if that's a word. I talk about learning to communicate and then I make up words, but I think that some people really think being an entrepreneur is glamorous, and it is really hard work and it can be really emotionally draining. So I think you want to, just like I talk about with real estate, think carefully before you go down that road. That's one piece of advice. The other piece is to think about the life you want to live. And it kind of ties into that message. Think about that life you want to live and design what you do in your life to create that life for you. So what I mean by that is, if you want to be there for your family, that's great. Like, my parents were there 24/7 working, but their job was attached to our house. So if I needed them, they were there. So in their books, that was a huge success. But for me, I didn't want to be tied to a business like that. So you want to think about what's important to you and build a business or find a career that will allow you to live that life.
Great. In close, what are some new and exciting things you're working on? And tell everybody how they can find you.
Yeah, you bet. So Book Launchers is my new and exciting project. We're helping people write with a writing coach. So they'll guide you through the whole process and also guide you through the emotional ups and downs, as you know, with writing a book, you know, the highs where it's like, this book's awesome, to the lows of, oh my gosh, nobody's going to read this. They're going to hate it. Like, why am I writing this book? So the writing coach guides you through all that. And then our team takes it and edits it and gets it into a good looking form and helps you plan your launch and even do some of the marketing. So I'm really excited about it. We're working with some awesome people, and always happy to chat with others about their book idea and see if it's a fit. And if you want to do that, you can go to booklaunchers.com, and we've got a great newsletter that you can sign up for and hit reply to that, and it goes to me.
Perfect. Well, that is wonderful. And then on Facebook, same kind of thing. Is that how they can find you with Book Launchers?
You bet.
Okay. Well, this has been absolutely delightful today. Julie, thank you so much for taking time out, and you've given some really great insights to our listeners today. And for anybody that has that book in them, which I always hear is like 85% of people think they have a book in them, and less than 10% ever act out on it, and then less than 5% ever finish it. So I think those are some pretty big statistics, and you're definitely a resource that for all those that feel they have a book in them, at least they have someone that they can reach out to, talk to, and maybe see where that really is going.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. You have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends, and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.